The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. Warning, the contents of this program could help you think for yourself. It's the Peter Boyle Show on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Morning, everybody. It's a Friday the 13th, 2020. Good old 710, KNUS, Denver's talk station. There's a term called inside baseball. We will do inside baseball. 710 KNUS Weather Center weather, 58 will be the high, 50 tomorrow and 52 on Sunday. A little billboarding, and then Bill Rogan will join us. Every year, well, for 35 years, they've done the Children's Hospital, and it's done with all the motorcycle guys, regardless of the make or model of motorcycle. And say that again. Billy, you said something to me. I didn't hear you. Oh, he does? Well, come in and give him. Sorry. You come in. I don't know how to turn him up, so Billy, he needs more volume. Billy will come in and do it. Anyhow. The holidays aren't canceled, but the gathering will be. The Children's Hospital still needs everybody's help, but we're not going to make the ride this year. I saw Kathy Uvalde last night and went to a meeting, and we talked, and Rocky Mountain Harley's collecting toys, and everybody else will be. We'll give it a lot more, but I get a lot of email. When are you going to do it? It's always the 6th of December, and it's going to change up, and you can understand because of Children's Hospital and the COVID virus and everything, but we'll talk a lot more about it, but that's a heads up. In the meantime, and in between time, have you got enough volume in the heads? You good?
I'm good.
I don't know.
I have no idea which one it is.
I don't know what it is. Come on. I've been only on this job.
I'm used to technical difficulties in this studio.
You're the first one. I've never seen anything.
Peter, thanks for having me on.
No,
it's very, it's hauntingly familiar to be here.
That was your seat?
Yes.
Let me just back this up. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, and Bill Rogan and I have worked together off and on for probably too many years. And so I looked through the glass as we was a glass in front of us with Billy on the other side of the glass. And there's Rogan. And I went, well, there's Rogan. So I came out to hug him and say hi. And he hands me a book entitled Life Ain't the Same in a Pecos League. He said, give it a read. And so I read it and it was laugh out loud funny. And Bill's knocked around this business for 1,000 years. And it's Friday. And it's been an unbelievably intense couple of weeks. Actually, it's been about 8 or 9 really intense weeks on the morning show. And I thought, you know what? Let's stick Rogan in here for a couple hours. Clear the prop.
A little levity.
Yeah, clear the prop, and then we can clean up for a weekend. You look good.
I need a haircut.
Well, you need a COVID cut. first of all, let's start with radio. How did you get into radio?
Well, my number one goal was to play for the New York Yankees. That didn't happen. So I went to school wanting to become a sports writer. And I covered some events in college, and I didn't like writing after the event. When the game was over, I wanted to leave too, but he had to stick around and write the story. And then I figured I'd talk about the game. So I got into play-by-play, which I love.
Where did you do that?
My first job out of college was at a station called WRKL in Rockland County, New York.
Right.
I did high school football and high school basketball. And then I covered planning board meetings and things like that during the week.
Yeah, make your bones.
Yeah, which were horrendously boring, but, you know. Actually, I did like the Board of Health meetings. You would be surprised. Some of the nicest restaurants have the worst violations.
Isn't that the truth? Ooh.
And I remember someone telling me, if the bathroom is dirty, can you imagine what the kitchen looks like?
That's not good, is it?
No. So that's how I got my start in broadcasting.
No, it's really true. I mean, everybody comes in somehow,
yeah. But that was not my original goal until I got to college and I started working on the radio station there, and that was fun.
You went to school in Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, PA.
Yeah. You went to
Duquesne.
Yeah.
Yes, and I recently learned how to spell it properly.
Duquesne.
Yes.
That was always That was always a gag when I was a kid, because Duquesne is a significant name in Pittsburgh legacy.
Yes, and if you can't get into Notre Dame, you go to Duquesne.
Well, they always say Duquesne was always
Duquesne.
If you grew up in you knew that, you'd say, Duquesne. Actually, there was a beer for a while, Duquesne.
That I did not know.
There's a lot of beer. there was Fort Pitt, there was Silver Top, there was Duquesne, there was
Iron City is the big one.
Imp and Iron. That's a mixed drink.
Okay.
Imperial whiskey. There's a running gag. My Uncle Gene's running gag, God love him. And he always said that they took a sample of Iron City beer, and they sent it to the chemist to see what was in it. And a note came back and said, "Mr. Boyles, your horse is very sick." I've told that joke probably too many times, but it was a true story.
It always gets a laugh, though.
Oh, man, especially like it knocked McNulty out of his seat, you know. But it was like they said, you know, he told you, he was a drinker. He drank Iron City. And now they have light Iron City light, and they call it Icy Light.
Okay.
My relatives still.
I'm not up on my beers.
No. Imperial whiskey. And a bottle of Iron City was that's a mixed drink, a shot and a beer. But that was Duquesne, and now it was all that time. How long were you in Pittsburgh?
4 years.
Yeah. Where'd you live?
On campus.
Yeah.
And then my senior year, I lived off campus about a block away.
See?
But I love Pittsburgh. Oh. It's a very underrated city.
It's changed now. Way different now.
How so?
The mills are gone. The coal mines are gone. You know,
they went technical. You know, they saw that the steel industry was kind of dying off,
It was stolen. I mean, they multinationals moved it to Bangladesh and cut everybody's throats, stole all their – I don't want to get into this because it's Friday, but they stole retirements from people and a horrible time. And but Pittsburgh has come back. The neighborhoods are real different now.
Okay.
It's what it was and what it is. So you graduate from Duke and then?
And then I went back home to New York, got into radio.
So that's when you go on the gig after that?
Yes.
All right.
And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, my goal was always to broadcast, you know, Major League Baseball or NHL hockey. That didn't happen. But
Who'd you grow up on? Who was the radio guys you grew up on?
Well, musically, remember Cousin Brucey?
Of course, Bruce
I love
Marlon.
Cousin Brucey and all those guys on WABC.
Oh, yeah.
I remember listening to Imus when I was younger.
You bet.
And then
what a talent.
Yes, and baseball-wise, I always loved Phil Rizzuto, the Scooter.
Scooter.
Grew up listening to Yankee games, and I loved him for many reasons. One reason, Met fans hated him.
Yeah.
So I liked him even more because of that.
Yeah.
But the Mets always had great broadcasters, too. Lindsey Nelson. Ralph Kiner, who was a great pirate, turned into a great broadcaster.
He was the man.
Oh, Bob absolutely. Murphy.
There's another one.
Yeah, and Marv Albert as a kid. You know, I had many sore throats imitating Marv as a young kid.
He can do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Knicks take the lead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kick save and a beauty by Jockerman.
You got it down. You got it down. No, it's true. It's like those guys. I grew up on Bob Prince.
Bob Prince, yes.
And Jim Woods, the gunner. The gunner. And now there's a book about him, about Prince.
Bob Prince, I remember he used to call Roberto Clemente Bobby.
I've told this story before. The one and only. Bill Rogan's here, and we're going to have fun on a Friday. Life ain't the same in the Pecos League. After his rookie year, and if you look at his rookie Pittsburgh rookie card, I wish I still had all this stuff, it said Clemente, it was Bob Clemente on his card. So I played baseball as a kid, it wasn't any good, but one of the things, because everybody's broke, nobody had, but you had to go sell bonds, baseball bonds. We sold them in bars and stuff like that, and there was a bakery that would do a kickoff, and they'd bring out pirates to, you know, sign autographs. They brought Bob Friend, Elroy Face, and, quote, Bob Clemente. So me and the Tiani brothers and one of the Alcorn kids, an African-American kid, we go to see him. We couldn't figure out who he was. Seriously. I mean, we grew up with people, their parents and grandparents spoke Polish. Mm-hmm. A lot of one of my best friends, his grandparents lived with him. They couldn't speak English. They spoke Italian, Sicilian. We never saw a black guy speak Spanish. I mean, this is a true story. We're like, well, who is this guy? And then the next year he became Roberto.
Yeah.
But he was, and no one, they didn't know who the guy was. I mean, obviously they knew who he was, but we didn't know who he was. And what a life his life was. Wow.
Unfortunately cut short.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'll always remember the day he died because it was December 31st, 1972.
You bet.
And the reason I remember that date so well, that was the first New York Rangers hockey game I ever saw.
Oh, wow.
My dad took me on New Year's Eve to Madison Square Garden. Yeah. I had been bugging him for years to take me to a Rangers game, and I was thrilled. The next morning is when we found out. My dad at the breakfast table said Roberto Clemente died, and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, I know guys that people would think are like, you know, and they named their sons Roberto because of him.
Oh.
I mean, really, like growing up, we'd go the Pirates would let you in on certain days. And you had to sit in the right field bleachers, you know. And he'd be out there shagging the balls. He'd throw them up to the kids. I mean, I saw him do it.
Hopefully
know?
Not using his full capability.
No,
the guy had an arm.
Oh, he had a cannon.
He could have killed some kids.
But he'd flip them. He'd just catch them.
Over his head?
Flip them, yeah. Just flip them back into the kids. The kids would all, you know, be sitting there. I never caught one of them, but he just flipped the balls.
I'd like to see Major League Baseball retire his number 21 in perpetuity, they did with Jackie Robinson, 42.
Yeah.
I think for Puerto Rican kids and Hispanic kids in general, he's still their hero.
He was angry. I mean, I read the biography, and he got treated badly, and he was angry, and a lot of guys were like that, you know.
And he didn't get the publicity he deserved.
Yeah, but he wasn't, other than the 60 team. You know, you got to get the ink, you know, and he didn't. But our guest is one in studio, Bill Rogan. So I'm drifting in and out of baseball books, and I don't even watch professional sports anymore. I'm just so over pro sports. Only thing I watch is UFC and I guess prize fighting. But other than that, I'm done with professional sports for political reasons. I'm done with them. But my grandson is a huge fan, so now I watch with him because it's a good thing for both of us. But other than that, they've lost me, and I've been drawn to these books. They're history books. I tell you, what you're mentioning coming in about that Ty Cobb book, that guy, what a book.
Yeah, there's also a great book about Ty Cobb called A Terrible Beauty, and it puts to bed some of the myths about Ty Cobb. And there have been some other books written about Ty Cobb, and you think, how in the world could this guy live? Because he was always angry, always mean, always nasty, and he really wasn't that way. He was actually... very generous with his money. He was the first millionaire athlete.
Yeah, he was, yes.
You know, he played baseball in Detroit, which motor industry he invested in. He was from Georgia, Coca-Cola he invested in.
Indeed.
So he was very wealthy.
He was set. But he also was extremely bigoted and extremely racist. And, you know, the stories about how he treated, you know, black men and what's true. But they said he was mellowing, which, you know, do without it you want to do. Died in 61. You know, now I'm into his life. I think everybody knows about the Babe, but then there's a lot of stuff that nobody knew about the Babe.
The press covered for him.
Well, we're talking about
kind of like
story.
Joe Biden. The press covered for him.
Wow, well said. I hadn't thought of that. But that story that the Babe going nude down the train, that's a great story.
With a lady with a knife chasing
him, and he's nude, and they're on the train. And guess what? There's another story we won't write about. All those things are true, aren't they?
There's a lot of true things about Babe. He lived life to the fullest.
Oh, man.
You know what's amazing to me about Babe Ruth is how charismatic must he have been where kids today know who he is.
Sure.
There are kids today who couldn't tell you three guys on the Rockies.
But they know.
But they still, everybody knows Babe Ruth.
The Bambino.
I mean, he has never faded away. And I can't imagine back in the 20s how popular he must have been. You know, Babe Ruth. Well, and you see crowds of people around him. Just the magnetism he had.
They wanted him to come to town because he sold tickets.
Yeah.
And they put in extra seats. And
he changed the game.
And Ty Cobb hated him.
Because Ty Cobb was old school. Yeah. Slap the ball around, hit him where they ain't.
Yeah, Willie
steal
Keeler.
Bases, bunting and stuff like that. And then here you have this big guy coming in and just popping balls out of the ballpark and the adoration for him. And Ty Cobb was jealous, but they became friends later
That's
on.
That's the point. They end up in a golf game.
They used to golf you know, and it's interesting how Ty Cobb.
And Ty Cobb could ride him.
Yeah.
He could ride him and he could get to him.
Yeah. Ty Cobb got under the skin of a lot of people.
His own teammates hated him. I mean, you know, but who are guys like that? I mean, my people, our guest is Bill Rogan. The people, maybe we could open phone lines up in 303-696-1971. Who was your sports idol?
Bobby Mercer, right fielder for the Yankees.
Wow.
Center fielder, actually, when he first started.
Wow.
He was my hero. I love Thurman Munson. He died in a plane crash, Roberto Clemente. Hockey-wise, Rod Gilbert of the Rangers.
Yeah. See, I never followed hockey.
You're missing out.
Oh, I know.
The only sports I like now, really, people are going to be shocked to hear this, because if they remember on KNUS, my old sports show, we talked about everything, a lot of football.
You and Casey.
I don't even watch the NFL anymore. The NBA I haven't watched in years. But hockey and baseball, I can't live without. And hockey players, to me, are the most selfless athletes. They'll block a shot with their face if it means keeping the puck out of the net.
Yeah. And baseball didn't get the politics that the others all did.
Yeah, I was a little down on baseball this year.
Yeah.
You know, I cannot condone an athlete kneeling for the flag.
That's my point. When that point started, I said, okay, you don't need me.
Veterans Day was 2 days ago, mm-hmm. and I was looking on Facebook, and I saw pictures of elderly men mm-hmm. who served this country, World War II, mm-hmm. Vietnam War, and they're looking at the flag, and there's tears in their eyes, mm-hmm. and they fought for this country. And for some athlete who says, you know, I'm oppressed, and they're making millions of dollars. If you want to protest, do it on your own time. Sure. Go down to City Hall with a banner.
But it also knocked down the ratings. Look at NFL ratings or the NBA playoff ratings. They went 67%. Nobody watched the World Series. I mean, it's a real variable in the Trump model.
Yeah. People, though, feel like suckers. If I watch an NFL game now, I'd feel like a sucker.
I don't watch. I mean,
I don't watch it.
I watch, like I said, Sunday because of my grandson. We bond and we talk. And so I do it mm-hmm. I was thinking about when I was a kid growing up. Many people want to talk to you already too. Prize fighting, a little bit when I was a kid, and I knew. And we were talking about this the other night. I knew who held the straps. I knew the first two or three, you know, challengers. I would know their names. I could take you back to with Marciano or Joe Walcott or you know, all that kind of stuff. Ezra Charles, you know, you knew who they were. I have no idea today.
Well, there's too many champions.
Oh, of course.
Too many pretenders.
Yeah.
Too many fights that are hyped, and you don't even know who the guys are. They don't put fights on free TV anymore. Oh. You know, so I used to be a huge boxing guy in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. I'd go down to the Times Square gym mm-hmm. and watch Roberto Duran work out. He was my guy.
Hands of stone.
Manos de Piedra, yes. I loved him. And I remember my high school graduation present was to go to Montreal with my dad to see him fight Ray Leonard. Yeah. And I had my Panama flag, and I was waving it.
What a fight.
And it was a great fight.
One of my times in Panama, I went to the barrio that he grew up in.
Wow.
And to see it. You know, he fought for quarters when he was like 7, 8 years of age. He stood out in the street and fought older kids for money.
Wow.
You know, I mean, that's like people talk about half tough, you know, like how tough was Roberto Duran?
Well, I used to like watching him fight when he would get tagged early in the fight and he'd smile at the guy.
Well, that's the Spanish fighter thing. There's an old, I mean, here I am back tripping away. The Latin fighters are taught that. And if you crack somebody, you get hit, you grin. Yeah. And that's a concept that came out of really Mexican fighters who are over the moon tough.
Yes.
And they taught those guys.
You know, anytime I'm watching, you know, flipping around the TV stations, and I see a Mexican fighter or a Puerto Rican fighter, I'm going to watch because those guys scrap. And that's one of the reasons. The second fight against Leonard, remember he quit Nomás?
Nomás fight.
It was basically he was so frustrated that Leonard was just dancing mm-hmm. around. And he was like, come on, let's fight. And they said, forget it, I'm done with this. And he regretted it later. But
yeah, he did.
You know, it was.
Did you like pro wrestling as a kid?
No, not at all. See, I watched it with my grandpa.
We're huge fans. Yeah, me and Billy are big marks. You know?
I know. Bill Thorpe is a big dog racing fan.
He is. You know, there used to be a track here, and Woody Page and I would go and.
In Commerce City.
Oh, man. I got stories about going
to the dog
track.
Bill used to announce
I know he did.
Racing.
He was the dog track boy.
Yeah, I got him the job.
Yeah, no, Rogan got me the job. Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Did you say, here comes Rusty?
Oh, yeah. Here comes Rusty.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah. It was Rogan. Uh-huh. Rogan needed needed a day off, and they needed someone to come out of the track, and, you know, that was a mess. The first time I did it, God.
Did you work the track?
Yes, and I also did horse racing for 3 years over there at Arapahoe Park.
I didn't know that.
The hardest sport to announce, by the way, horse racing.
Horse racing. Impossible.
Can't imagine.
It's so hard.
Hey, I'm saying the guy to kind of talk like this, and where they go.
Hand him around.
And it's like guys that did car racing.
Yes.
I can't imagine.
The guys with car racing, they'll be like, and AJ Foyer.
Yes.
He's like, what did he just say?
I don't know.
I heard the engines. Why do they put the guy in the track announcer, like, right by the track? I can't hear a thing.
I don't know. I didn't know Billy worked at the dog track.
Yes, he did. We needed a guy, and I told my boss, I said, I know this guy Thorpe. You know, he's got good communication skills, speaks well, likes sports. I think he'd be good at it. And his first race was a horror show, but after that, he was pretty good.
I didn't know you guys worked at the dog track. We used to go back in the nightmare years and bet. And I know nothing about dog, plus I had a problem. I bet colors.
People bet colors, numbers, names.
I bet the green dog because of the Irish thing. I bet the green dog. And there was a guy named Tiny Dupree that had a barbecue joint up there in the Kabubba's. And he used to have me and Berg would go, you know. Taking Berg to the dog track. But it was like, I mean, Woody and I went. We still, because Woody and I were working together. And, The guy played Dan Issel. Loved the dog track.
What? Yeah, unfortunately, it was phased out because the do-gooders were saying, oh, this is animal abuse. Yeah. Those dogs were taken care of so well, better than children. And that's what they like to do. They're bred to run.
I say that about rodeo. I'm a rodeo geek. And those bucking bulls and bucking horses, they're money. And, you know, they work 8 seconds and then they breathe diesel and, you know, and then they go to the next place. That's the money. I mean, remember the money shot. You get some bull that is going to get you money. They don't want to hurt that bull.
No.
They don't want to hurt that horse.
And the dogs were treated so well there. And they loved it. They'd finish a race and their tails would be wagging.
Oh, Billy did Here Comes Rusty.
Oh, yeah. It was great. And Rogan's right. My first announcement, that was awful. It was a train wreck. It was horrible because it is such a specific skill to describe something that is happening
Billy,
that quick.
Billy.
And then to describe it going forward is what's going to happen.
One of my first major screw-ups in radio, of many, I'm working at Cat Radio, KWAT, the big cat of the Rockies, Gus Merkus, Eddie Green's there. And the Saturday gig, and they said, and they had the dog track. I've never told the story on the air. The dog track results, and there was a way, you know, you know how you bulk the cart and you put the cart in and you put it in there and you gear it up and you 3-2-1, the guy calls. And they said, and Gus Merkus, God rest his soul, who saved me so many times in this business, you knew Gus. And he said, and he was PD and Jack's running it, and he said, you know how to do that. Well, I'm a kid. I was afraid to say, no, I don't know how to do that. And he said, well, he said, he's going to call you on the hotline. And it was a guy that had a voice like this, and he acted like this. And I saw the hotline, and we had to do the dog track results at like 3 o'clock or something. I punched my cat radio. Dog track results, here we go, 3-2-1, in the first race. And I blow it. And so I figured, well, who the hell cares about dog track races? You know, I'm going to get by this. You know, I'm going to play tunes on the air and back sell and time and temp. And so the whatever time it was, it ran on 2:30 or something. 2:30 comes and goes. No dog. Phones blow up. Where's my puppy? And these guys, they are so mad.
Oh, yeah.
And I later found out from the Denver cops there's a lot of off-track betting takes place. That if you go up there in the window, you got to, you know, you get there, somebody's responsible. You could bet off track. And I came into work the next morning, actually on a Monday. And Gus says, wait, come here. What did you do? And he always took care of me. And he said, let me show you how to do it. My favorite Gus story, then we'll break. We'll come back. Lines are jammed. The one and only Bill Rogan's here. It was about maybe around Thanksgiving. And I'm breaking into the business. I'm a kid. It's what you're talking about. So Gus takes me up to Colfax and have a cup of coffee. And he says, if you knew Gus, cigarette going, half tough. He said, do you ever notice when you turn on your radio or television on Christmas Day, there's somebody there? I went, yeah. He said, well, this year it's you. That's honest to God.
I know that feeling.
Oh, man. And then when you're a rookie, you're working.
Yeah, and you love it, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I worked Christmases and New Year's and Thanksgivings for so many years that now when I get Thanksgiving, what is this like? You know, but remember the old man, that was a special guy, you guys, Gus Merkus. And miss him a lot. All right, let me do a turnaround. Our lines are jammed. We'll take calls. 710 KNUS. The book is entitled Life Ain't the Same in a Pecos League. The one and only Bill Rogan, who is so worth our time. And it's a great day to do it on a Friday. It is 23 after the hour. Bill Thorpe was the voice of the dog track. Nah, man, that's like, you're going to have to live with that, pal. 710 KNUS. I hear something saying. Great tune. The late, great Mr. Sam Cooke playing like a disc jockey this morning. Bill Rogan in studio. Lines are jammed. We'll get to everybody. Mark Crowley sends me an email and says, who let that guy in the studio? Let me do a cue. 58 will be the high today. If you're looking to downsize your home or buy something bigger, a vacation home, American Financing, they just for me, here to tell you their mortgage consultants will customize any loan in the industry. In fact, the responsibility to find the best program for your financial situation, and they do words of my life. Whether it's walking you through a short-term loan like a 15-year conventional, discussing zero down payment benefits of a VA, knowledgeable folks who keep conversations simple and straightforward. My heavens, they did it for me. They dropped the rates, so tighten up the time. They have an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau, and they're my friends. Call them, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000. Get it off the ground, 303-695-7000, AmericanFinancing.net. Rogan's in studio. You're telling me these guys are doing dog track stories off the air. And I tell them my dog track stuff. We used to go to the dog track, Woody and me and all the the malcontents, Barry Fay. That was a trip going to dog track with Fay or going horse track with Fay. Tell the story of how you got in trouble. You got in trouble twice.
Well, twice I got in trouble. My boss was Bruce Seymour. Great guy.
There you go.
St. Louis Cardinals fan. And he's still the general manager, I believe, at Arapahoe Park. Yeah. And I did horse racing and dog racing. He said, for horse racing, play it straight. Don't muck up the finish, whatever you do. But at the dog track, he said, have fun. Yeah. Let loose. Okay, I can do that. So there was one particular...
Billy knows this one dog, too, which is even worse. Yeah. That Billy knows the
I'll
dog.
Give you two stories. The first one, he got mad at me. There was a dog named Blazon. Tremendous. I won all the time by like 40 lengths. So my call was, here comes Rusty, and they're off. Blazon takes the lead. There's your winner. The race for second place. And the dog won by, you know, 30, 40 lengths. But I got a call from Bruce. Don't ever do that again. He was pretty mad that I... prematurely called the winner, even though I was right. Yeah. The other time he got mad, there was a big crowd on a Saturday night. Everyone's having fun there. And my call was like third race or something. Here comes Rusty, and they're off like a prom dress, heading into the lead. And he called up and said, don't ever do that again.
Never do that again.
And then you'll like this story at the horse track. Again, don't mess up the finish because people sometimes rip up their tickets.
Absolutely.
So there was a race. It was neck and neck, one of those head-bobbing photo finishes. And I actually called the winner. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, no, I'm not sure who won.
Ooh.
It was a photo finish, and it took about 15 minutes. And I'm sweating it out. Oh, yeah. Bruce called up and said, you better be right.
Better be right, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm going to get fired if I'm wrong. And I was right by a half an inch. I told Bruce, I said, I knew it. I could see.
Hey,
my broadcast location is right on the finish line. I can't mess up.
How did you, we'll go to calls in 2 seconds. How did you get into talk? How did you get into talk radio?
Talk radio?
Yeah.
Well, I did some talk shows in New York, sports shows. And then when I was here at KNUS, I was a board op for Mike Boyle Restaurant Show.
We'll see him today. He'll be in here.
Yeah, right? I love Mike.
Oh, yeah.
And I did all sort of editing programs and stuff like that. And they finally gave me and I was doing some, sports.
What, you and Casey doing stuff together?
It was Bill Jones.
Oh, Billy Jones.
Bill
okay.
Jones.
Oh,
I'll tell you how Casey got in with KNUS. Okay. This is a funny story, too, with Casey. But anyway, I was doing some sports with Bill Jones. I got my shot doing the Sunday night sports show here because Oliver North, do you remember him?
Of course.
He was doing a show for Salem,
yeah.
And he was on location here.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him in the back.
I actually was with him when he was here on that deal.
Yeah. And we were talking, and he asked me something about the Olympics that were going on. And I had some wisecrack about figure skating. He laughed, and he said, you got to come on the air with me.
Wow.
So I did two segments with Peter...
Oliver North.
Yeah. I almost said Peter North, a porn star.
Take your time. Really?
Yeah. So anyway, Oliver North says to me, come on the air, stay. And after that, they gave me a shot.
How'd Casey get into it?
All right. Casey was my intern.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And then
either.
He disappeared to Arizona for
a couple of years.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And then he came back and he called up and he said, hey, Bill, I want to stop by and say hi. Sure, Case. So he comes in and he puts the headphones on. And I ask him a few questions. And he's like, hey, good seeing you, Casey. You take care.
It's a wonderful kid.
He didn't take the headphones off.
Yeah.
So then we go to a commercial break. I'm like, okay, Casey, nice seeing you. Take it easy. He never left.
Yeah.
He came back the next Sunday.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, I guess he's part of the show.
He's great.
I love Casey.
I came in the first day to go to work with him. He said, I might not be sticking around here with you. He gives me that. I go, okay. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he said, can I come back tomorrow? And then we bonded. And he's like, you know, but like Billy, it's like having a son. You know, they're just great guys. So you transition, again, this book. And again, if you just join us, Rogan's here. Life Ain't the Same in the Pecos League. You knocked around radio for a long, long time, but you're a ball player.
Yeah.
And
still play. We lost our championship game 2 weeks ago.
Let's do this.
Ticked off.
We have people that waited. So let me just try and do this. Hey, Tom, you're on a radio show, and thank you for calling. I got one. Who is your favorite of all-time athlete? And then go to your questions. Could you tell us who your favorite all-time athlete is?
God, that's a tough one.
All right.
Man. Well, I grew up in near Houston, so Roger Metzger was one of my favorite players.
Okay, there's one. Yeah, who? I mean, every kid, like my grandson, I go through his eyes now, and his favorite pro wrestler, his favorite baseball player, his favorite football player, and he tells me who they are. And I remember as a kid, it was like, oh yeah, we were all Ralph Kiner guys as kids because Kiner could hit the ball.
He led the league in home runs 7 times.
Your question or your comment, Tom, if you would please.
I would just comment, you know, Bill made a reference to the book Ty Cobb, A Terrible Beauty. I read that book, and there's so much stuff about Ty Cobb that's wrong. His family were known abolitionists. He had a grandfather who refused to serve in the Confederate Army. His father saved a black man from lynching. When he went up to Detroit, he was made fun of because he's from the South. When other guys were out drinking and womanizing, he was sitting in his room reading books. He's especially like biographies of Napoleon.
Yeah, I know he's bright. I know he's very bright. They were like upper middle class family. I always thought his, this is Peter saying this, not Billy. I always thought he was kind of a contemporary of Joe Jackson from the South. But a lot of those ballplayers in this new book, which I think is great, a lot of these ballplayers are from the South. And they come up to Detroit, and they come up to Chicago, and they come up to, you know, this is during the scandals and stuff. And they were, but it's a good call. I am so intrigued by this book right now because it was everything that I didn't think.
But well, I think the book by Lear, his name's, I think his first name is Charles,
Charles Learson.
Yeah, Charles Learson.
I'll have to look for it.
A Terrible Beauty. It does give you a different perspective on Ty Cobb.
Could I also add one thing?
Sure, of course.
When the Texas League was considering integrating in the 50s, he went and testified for integration. He used to go to Negro League games and sit, talk to the players, sit in the dugout with them. I mean, so, yeah, he got in fights. He got in fights with people, black, white, it didn't matter.
Everybody.
He had a temper. That was his major flaw.
Well, there's the point in the book, and there's the book that I'm reading now, is his own teammates hated him.
Some did.
Some, okay. Yeah. But when your teammates hate you.
I just had one question for Bill, too.
Sure.
My family's from Trinidad, so I was wondering if you had any stories about playing there.
Well, we actually didn't play in Trinidad because we were I managed Tucson, and we were in the Pacific Division, and the travel is too far for Trinidad. However, there's a couple of Trinidad trigger stories in there, in the book.
There is, because you talk about it.
Yeah, I talk about
sex change capital.
But
only you, right?
Trinidad.
There's a baseball book about sex change.
Yeah, there's sex change stories in there.
Everywhere.
So, but yeah, Trinidad's a nice little town, and they have a nice little setup down there.
Thank you. Good call. Very good call. We go to Paul on 2. Hey, Paul, you're on a radio show. Bill Rogan's in studio. Good morning.
Hey, Peter. My favorite player was Sandy Koufax. I've got a great story about him if you guys got a minute.
Please.
It won't take very long. I was down at Vero Beach to watch the Dodgers after they won the 88 World Series, and Koufax was there talking to people. They're playing the Mets again, and he was walking from field to field, and, of course, Koufax got a crowd of people. And there was this lady in the back. Her son was up there, and she's like, shove your way in there. Shove your way in there. Because, of course, trying to get an autograph. And that Koufax, as clear as a bell, put his head up and said, that's right, encourage your children to be rude.
Yeah, I've heard that story before. You know, it's basically, the stuff I love about, and this with Bill here, it's great, and I don't know why I'm drawn to that, I guess the golden age or the classic, like reading about Jack Dempsey's life or Gene Tunney's life or Marciano's life or Graziano's life. But I'm not drawn to reading about modern fighters, although we love Duran and Sugar Ray. I mean, the other Sugar Ray, Leonard, and, you know, and you're drawn to those guys.
Well, I remember a sports talk show host in New York named Art Russ Jr.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And he never called Ray Leonard Sugar Ray because he said
couldn't.
There's only one Sugar Ray, and that's Robinson.
He was the man. Real name, Walker Smith.
There you go.
And wouldn't get off the bus. You ever hear the stories about him and Joe Louis on the bus?
No.
They're in the Army, and, you know, they're in the South, and... And it was Ray and also Jackie Robinson that wouldn't tolerate it. And Jack and their idols away from the field, you know, Joe was Joe and is a wonderful, wonderful fighter and a great man. But those other guys, they were Sugar Ray. You know, when you read Joe Williams, the hitman, who I think is a wonderful boxing historian, he really knows boxing. And we've talked about it. Who was better than Ray?
And pound for pound, maybe the best of all time.
When I did the old television show, then and Jake LaMotta comes to town, and I go out of my way. I got to meet Jake because I watched Jake fight as a kid, and my dad. And we used to watch him. Thanks for calling, man. We used to watch the it was Friday night fights, and he'd fight, and he'd be so I get out of my way to get him. Comes in the studio. By now he's overweight. You know he's who he is. We were talking about Ray. I wanted to talk about Ray, and I wanted to talk about. Tony Zale, and he lit up because he knew that I was like
he was a Pittsburgh guy. Tony
no,
Zale,
Gary, Indiana.
Oh, Gary, Indiana. Okay.
The finest piece of steel from Gary, Indiana.
Well, who was the guy from?
Not Tony Zale. Yeah, it was Tony Zale.
Who was the guy from Pittsburgh? Billy Kahn.
Kahn, the Pittsburgh kid, Billy
Kahn.
Yeah,
that's the one I was.
So we're talking about the Zale fights, and we're talking about all this stuff. And he's looking at me, and I said, did you, about fighting Sugar Ray? And he said, it's a wonder, because he talked like that. He said, it's a wonder I ain't got diabetes. I got so much sugar. He knocked me out of the chair. He said, he was saying about him and, you know, and Graziano is, you know, in the movie Rocky. Remember, Graziano's not his name. He's Balboa. And he's an AWOL, and he runs away from the Army, and he needs money for a fight. And he needs a fight name. And so there's a local wine in Brooklyn called Graziano. And Graziano, he picks the name off the bottle, and he becomes Rocky Graziano.
Okay.
That's a true story, and I mean, because I'm a fight geek. And so he said, so I'm talking, and Jake kills me. We end up sitting talking. And he said, me and Rock, he gives me this. He says, we was Tiefs, you know, growing up there, New York Tiefs. They were Tiefs. He said, but, and I'm saying, watching him, I'm, you know, and he said, we was educated Tiefs. I know I'm going somewhere with that guy. And he said, we only stole stuff, although he didn't say stuff, what begin with the letter A. He said, like, a bicycle, a quart of milk. You know? And he killed me. He was like, and I'm looking, I was saying, man. And I'm thinking, do you ever have those moments you go, man, do you know who you are? Wow.
That's a pretty good story. Boxing has a great stories. That's why it has made so many good films, too, boxing.
Yeah. But you ever, as we were talking earlier before you got here, do you ever sit with guys and go, man, do you know who you are or what you mean to me?
Not really, not off the top of my head.
Boy, for me, it was happening all the time. Was there people you wish you'd never met?
No. No.
Wow. See, I have that.
But here's, you talk about sometimes meeting your heroes. I mentioned Bobby Mercer. Right. I met him years ago when I was an adult, and he was my boyhood idol. And I went up to him and introduced myself, and he was as nice as could be.
Wow.
Thank goodness.
Thank you.
Now,
yeah.
If he was a bum, I would have totally changed my opinion of him.
Yeah. No, it's like there's guys I said, man, I wish I'd never met you because I held you in such esteem. Yeah. And other guys you meet, them go, man, you're who you are.
Well, there's always that question at the dinner table. You know, who are five people you'd like to go to dinner with?
Yeah, final dinner, yeah. And yeah. Who's on the table? Who's on the list?
Bill Thorpe is one of them.
Where's one? He's a dog track man.
He still won't go to dinner with me. No, Paul McCartney would be one.
Oh, where you go?
I mean, Stevie Wonder would be another.
Two?
What he's accomplished with
being absolutely.
Blind.
Yeah.
Wow. This is a tough one.
Yeah.
I'd need to think a little bit more about it.
Think it through. We'll turn around. We've got to come back. We'll do a market update. Lines are jammed. The one and only Bill Rogan. The book, Life Ain't the Same in a Pecos League. 710 KNUS Denver's Talk Station.
Listen live at radio.com.
Hi, this is Hugh Hewitt. Join me at 9 right after Pete on News Talk 710 KNUS.
747. There's so many people sending emails. Rogan has reappeared. Good morning. It's a Friday, everyone. November, Friday the 13th, 2020, 710 KNUS. 58 will be the high. Bill Rogan will be with us in the next hour as well. Amy joins us from Alpine Planning. Good morning. What's the market?
Good morning, Pete. And I hope you don't mind, but I got to say hi to Mr. Bill Rogan.
Oh, okay.
Rogan.
Please, go ahead.
We go way back. Rogan, how are you?
Hi, Amy.
I'll be darn. I still have your book, Artificial Turf, there, my friend.
Well, it's time to upgrade your library. I got a new book out, Life Ain't the Same in the Pecos League. That's why Peter invited me on.
I'll be darn. That was quite the pitch.
Hopefully you're doing well, Amy.
Boom, out of nowhere. Yep. Well, anyway, nice to talk to you, Bill. Always love your sports commentary, especially the boxing piece that you guys were doing earlier. So,
Thank you.
Pete, getting back to your question. Friday morning markets, happy Friday to everyone. We've got the Dow with gains this morning, currently up 250. The S&P is also up 28, and the NASDAQ is positive, up almost 1%. So seems like a fast week. You know, we started off Monday with giant gains on the Dow Jones based on Pfizer's announcement. Then we had 3 days of downs. Now a nice little rally to head into the weekend. Pete, I'm just going to end with this, and that's the point of follow through. You know, we talk about market changes, volatility every single day. Today we've got several clients stopping in to do more of kind of a servicing type thing. One of them involves adding a trust. The other one, some beneficiary changes. And I think the point of follow through and service on accounts is really sort of a lost art. You've got to be customized. You've got to have the follow through. because it's not just the market that always matters. So happy Friday to everyone. Bill Rogan, great to talk to you. And if anyone has questions, give us a call.
303-843-0918, 303-843-0918. Investing is a matter of trust. They will earn yours. Amy's there, 303-843-0918. Thanks, lady. Talk to you Monday. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
58 will be the high, 50 to, on Saturday, 52 on Sunday. The one and only Bill Rogan in studio, kind enough to spend a couple hours with us. I don't know, we were so many places off air telling stories and on air, and Billy Thorpe and Tommy came in, and everybody was saying, you know, back, and emails are coming in, flying, and you've been laying low, man. So people are like, you've come up for air, and now people say, there's Rogan.
It's like old timers day.
No, it really is. As I bring the kids back. But, yeah. but you know, so you're working now for the Rockies, but you're furloughed off of that job for a while. You're going back to manage. We're talking about umpires, and we're talking about Ty Cobb off air. And when Cobb was managing Detroit, he'd get, I mean, scream at people and go out and jump on umpires and stuff. You have a thing in the book where you get in a rush.
Well, I was really pretty easy on the umpires because I don't know how arguing every call and screaming at the umpires all game helps you. But there were a couple of episodes that really ticked me off. One of them was in Alpine, Texas. We're playing a game, and we're up 4-0. And the other team's manager comes out and starts arguing with the umpire. And their manager, Alpine, a guy named Sean Persky, about 6'5". The umpire is about 5'6". And he's screaming at him, arguing balls and strikes, which should be an automatic ejection. Mm-hmm. And he intimidated the umpires. And after that, we weren't getting calls. We had a pitcher. He's hitting the catcher's glove. And we're not getting calls. And I finally snapped. It was 4-3 at the time. They were coming back. And I went out and I just went nuts on the umpire, screaming at the base umpires. Just total temper tantrum. It was cathartic.
Yeah.
To act like
however.
And the crowd was, you know, there's several hundred people there yelling at me. And I didn't get thrown out either. I should have been. And I didn't get thrown out. And we ended up losing that game, which ticked me off to this day. I'm still mad at it. And then there was a game in Tucson, the only game I got thrown out. And what got me mad was the umpire made a bad call. And the rule says you cannot go out of the baseline to avoid a tag.
Sure, right.
And the runner obviously did. He was running up the first baseline, took a circuitous route to first base, dove in, should be automatically out. He said he didn't. The umpire, I said, well, you're not watching the game. We had a big argument. And I didn't really get too crazy on, but he threw me out anyway. And that's when I got my money's worth. And that was actually Jane Seymour night. The actress was at the park.
Her son played on the team.
Yeah.
And you go, is that your mom? Tell that story. That's a great part of the book.
Well, you know, I found out that Chris Keach, one of my pitchers, mm-hmm. his mom was Jane Seymour. One of the guys in the bullpen called me before a game and said, hey, do you know who Chris's mom is?
I said, coming to the game.
No. And he said, Jane Seymour. So I asked him, I said, is your mom Jane Seymour? He smiled. He goes, yeah, how'd you know? Well, the guys in the bullpen found out. I said, well, is she going to come to any games? He goes, yeah, she's coming you know, August 16th. Yeah. I said, you think she'll be interested in throwing out the first pitch? Yeah, she'd be into that. And she was. Yeah. She was great.
You told me she was very cool.
Very nice lady.
Yeah, see?
Wonderful lady.
Somebody you're glad you met.
Yes, very glad.
What's your favorite baseball movie?
Pride of the Yankees, Gary Cooper as Lou Gehrig.
Wow, I would have never expected that.
That was the first movie, I believe, that I cried watching. Because I was about 7 years old. I didn't know the Lou Gehrig story. And the part where Gary Cooper says to the doctor.
Today.
Yeah, yeah, he says, Doc, give it to me straight. Is it three strikes? And the doc looks at Gary Cooper playing Lou Gehrig and says, Lou, it's three strikes. And I started crying.
Oh, man.
And I still watch it today. Every now and then you'll see it on some channel. And
William Bendix playing Babe Ruth, except
for that.
It
was a horrible movie.
Oh, it was awful. But, you know, we watched that stuff when we were kids.
Yeah.
But no, I would have never thought you'd say that.
But I love The Natural. Field of Dreams, I thought was wonderful.
You like Major League?
Yes, I did.
Love Major League.
Eight Men Out I liked a lot. The Black Sox scandal.
Because that's part of Ty Cobb and those guys and Jim Jackson.
And if there was a time machine, and whoever invents the time machine will make a lot of money, in my opinion, I'd love to go back to 1915, 1920.
Who was in on the scandal? Let's talk about that in the other break, because I read all that stuff about who was in, who was out, and then what happened to Joe Jackson.
Well, a guy named Arnold Rothstein was the ringleader.
Who later, they whacked him. So hang on. The one and only, and this, I knew it would be this good, and it's better than what I thought. Bill Rogan and Billy Thorpe, the dog track announcer. It was a giveaway, man. Now I know. I did pro wrestling, but dude, you did dog tracks. 710 KNUS, hold on.
There are three ways to reach the show. Call us at 303-696-1971. Text us on the free-to-download 710KNUS app. Or send us an email. Just go to the Peter Boyles page at 710KNUS.com and click on Email the Show.
Heading off to the highways, a nice and easy drive. We are crash-free.